Welcome to another episode of Nothing Moves Without Us, a Black culture podcast. On every episode, Clifford and I discuss shows, movies, and music from the past 30 years that have played a pivotal role in the Black experience.
What's the word?
Feliz Navidad.
I like how you went completely non-black. You didn't say Merry Christmas and you didn't even say it in English. I like that.
Feliz Navidad.
How's the holiday season wrapping up for you?
Actually, sorry.
Welcome to our YouTube live. Nothing Moves Without Us, a Black Culture Podcast. Bi-weekly, Tatiana and I go over impactful movies, TV shows, and music albums from the past 30 years that have played a pivotal role in the Black experience. And this is our last episode for season two. This is your first season. This is my season. How has mm-hmm. this season been for you? Was this your first podcast?
Yeah, I've never. The only other time I did a podcast was when you asked me to do your podcast before. So this is my first podcast
discovering
experience.
Angles
angles exactly. It's been a learning podcast experience.
I just want to shout you out.
Oh.
Matter of fact, yeah, I'll link that to the description also so people can listen.
Okay, that's when I was like talking a lot.
You're supposed to
yeah, it's a podcast. You're right, you're supposed to talk. You shouldn't just be sitting in silence. Right. But it's definitely been like a learning experience, and it's definitely made me, I think I've always been very, not very critical, but critical of what I watch, not necessarily in a bad way, but it definitely changed my watching experience, you know, like picking up on themes, picking up on right. Differences and similarities. So it's definitely helped me kind of stay focused when listening to music and right. taking in art in general and entertainment. So that's been yeah. really good. That's been really great, actually.
I think I've been noticing that a bit more too. Just like really immersing ourselves into the art so we can like focus and just appreciate it for its value. You know, exactly. Like not being on the phone, not multitasking, just like focusing. Yeah, that's a dope realization. I like that.
Yeah, because, you know, usually sometimes, especially when you're viewing stuff or listening stuff at home, you're like, it's in the background. You're like, all right, what else can I be doing? Can I be folding clothes? What's going on with my emails? But with this, with doing the podcast, it's like, are you really watching? So it really, you know, like I said, pulls in your focus to pay attention to what you're taking in. So that's been really nice. Good.
That's yeah. good. I'm glad to hear that. So mm-hmm. earlier I asked, like, how's your holiday season wrapping up?
You know, I don't know. Holidays just feel,
you know, are you like happy you're about anything? I feel like you're always melancholy. Melancholy.
Yeah, a little bit, I think, especially around the holidays. I think because it's so different than what it used to be, especially with COVID. Right. So like, for instance, for Thanksgiving, I spent it differently than I usually do. I usually spend it with my mom and I spend it with my sister, but like my sister was sick. My mom had different plans. So I spent it with my boyfriend's family, with Robert's family, and it was fun and it was cool, but it was different. And I think right. the older you get, you start to realize that you have to kind of start your own traditions to kind of truly appreciate that, like, you know, holiday spirit. And also just knowing that Christmas is not always about Christmas, or the holidays in general, is just not about like gift giving, but spending time with people that you love and people that you like. So I definitely think my goal for next year is to really put the time and effort into starting new traditions so that I can gain back my holiday spirit. I feel like the pandemic has been hard on me. I don't know how hard it's been on like other people, but I'm assuming it's right. been hard on everybody. Because I because especially when I think about how pretty much the entire time this is, you know, it's been happening, I've not really had the option to not participate in the world. I've still had to go into work. I've still had to commute. So it's definitely, I just feel like a lingering feeling of, oh, I wish it was like it was before. Because right before the pandemic, I had Christmas at my apartment, my old apartment. And like, all my friends came and we like ate and we watched movies and we talked and it was fun. And it was less about the right. gift giving and more about the hanging out. And now it's really hard to do because pandemic. So I definitely right, think right. refocusing and just creating my own traditions, and that'll help me next year to kind of stay, you know, to be a little bit more jolly, you know. I gotta take I gotta be more like Saint Nick.
I like that. I like that.
But how is your how's your holiday season been? How do you feel about the holidays this year? Has it been like everything you wanted it to be? Are you liking the traditions that you created for yourself?
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better. I mean, Erica is very big into she loves Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm not like opposed to it, but I'm not ecstatic about it. You know, mm-hmm. like I enjoy it. I love the atmosphere and like what it represents.
Right.
But I think a lot of my life experience has been not enjoying it the way the holidays are like traditionally sold to us. You know, it's
right.
It feels distant. You know, I'm living on my own. I think mm-hmm. I spent a lot of holidays just like living on my own because I was just like in a space and like literally had no one around. And that's right. a choice. It doesn't bother me, but like being with Erica and, you know, with her family, like, you know, we do Zoom calls. Sometimes I'll Zoom with my sister and niece. You know, it's bringing me back into it. And I think part of that was, it doesn't innately feel like mine, like my culture. There's no culture behind it, actually, right? It's just mm-hmm. about the gift giving. But last year, you know, I celebrated Kwanzaa for the first time. And so I have the Kinara up. And, you know, I wanted to, like, I found my balance between, you know, celebrating Kwanzaa, which is traditionally for African Americans, and being Haitian and, like, you know, trying to incorporate some of my Haitian culture into it, but also celebrating Christmas too. And I think having Kwanzaa added, like having something that's Black and like that's part of like my identity, makes me enjoy the holidays a bit more now. Mm-hmm. And I'm always planning about like how to make them better and like more family oriented. Like that trip we took to right. Pennsylvania, like I always envision like that being me and Erica's house, and like, you know, mm-hmm. you guys, my family, everyone is coming to like our little farm in the snow.
Yeah,
like we have a pond and stuff like that. Like that's my vision all the time. So I'm looking forward to more and better, but like I like it. Yeah.
That was a fun ass trip too. That was a fun trip.
The little otter and the little pond.
The otter that was there is like, is that the otter? And everyone's like with their phones, like, is that the otter? Is it that? And then like the ghost stories we created, we kept saying right, that there right, was right, a ghost right. living in the what's in the basement. Name? Genevieve.
Genevieve, Robert Genevieve. I broke the lock because I was high and I thought it was open but closed, and I just flipped it. And that was fun, man. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a really great trip. That's what I think I like the most about the holidays. Like you said, just creating your own traditions. I thought it was really cool that we all decided, like, let's go rent a house and just hang out at this house for a couple days and, like, you know, cook together and just talk and have beers and just like so communal and like cool to me.
Right.
So
right,
it's definitely all, something I appreciate.
Most of us cooked, right? But like, you know, we went to the grocery store. We all had like our days. You cook Monday, you cook Tuesday.
Yeah.
Erica had got to like to close out, which yeah, I said it feels reminiscent, right? The the host serves you last, right? Like everyone else comes, you invite your meal, and then like the host, we close out, give y'all like the best meal.
And we saw Mark Ruffalo, which was also
right. And
because we were like right on the border. Right, and we went to that little town in New York, and then because we were in Pennsylvania, but we were in that little town on the border, and we were like, Mark Ruffalo is here. And we're like, what? Mark Ruffalo? Which was really Michelle Williams?
Cool. Is that it? Not Michelle Williams. Yeah, it was Michelle Williams too. Yeah.
We saw Michelle Williams? I didn't see her.
Yeah, she was there with him.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
Sure.
I walked right past her.
Erica, is that true? Wait, which Michelle Williams? Destiny's Child from
Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek, yeah.
Okay. Why don't I remember that?
So I mean, you kind of brought up some good points that tie into some of our topics. So some things we're talking about, top five like holiday themed episodes. I kind of did mine last year, so you're gonna offer some of yours. I'll jump in. Okay. Favorite non-gift giving activities. What do you gift yourself for the holidays? What did you gift yourself for the holidays this year or recently? Your favorite gift from last year and from your childhood. You're going to do the Kwanzaa wrap, and we're going to go over the seven principles of Kwanzaa.
I'm going to try and do the Kwanzaa wrap.
I'm excited. You're going to do the Kwanzaa wrap.
I wrote it down on my phone too, what I could remember, because mind you, I have not performed this or wrapped this since I was probably 10 years old, I think. So it's going to be, I'm going to try.
What do you want to start with?
Best. Let's start with the top five holiday themed episodes of television shows.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, Erica says she only remembers Mark. So maybe saw Michelle Williams.
I got the Michelle Williams experience, yeah.
That's not fair, because she's my... She's my favorite Michelle Williams. Don't tell the other Michelle Williams. She's my favorite. Don't tell the other Michelle. Chico Fontaine said he wished it was Destiny's Child. Okay. I believe that. So my top five holiday themed episodes. It's so funny. One of them is I wanted to stay on task and like pick like black shows, but I did end up picking the Festivus episode of Seinfeld because it was like Festivus for the rest of us, because it was like, if you didn't want to celebrate Christmas, if you didn't want to celebrate Hanukkah. Like George's insane father coming up with the idea of Festivus, which I always thought was very cool. Two episodes of Family Matters, because I feel like Family Matters really captured the essence of Christmas with their holiday episodes. There's the episode where Steve, he ends up breaking. This was also something I noticed. All this guy does is break Laura's shit on Christmas. I watched three episodes of Family Matters Christmas episodes in the last couple of days, and every episode he broke some of her shit, and he's like, "Can I do that?" And I'm like, "Steve, man, I really can't."
Yes, he did that. Only you do that. Yes, it's you.
It's you, bro. But it was the episode where he broke like a family heirloom of theirs that like a tournament.
Season one.
Season one, I think probably episode 14, 13 or 14. He breaks Laura's ornament off the Christmas tree, and she's pretty much like, "I'm so tired of your shit, bro. You have to leave. Go spend Christmas with your weird ass uncle. You're not welcome here anymore." And then like at the same time, they're like having a hard time getting presents because they waited last minute. Carl went to go get this ready teddy for little Richie. Gets into a fight with this old lady who was like, "Nah, you jumped the line." And the whole time I'm like, "You're a cop. Like, just take the shit and go. Like, what is going on?" And then you end up finding out, like, you know, Steve is telling them, "You got to just believe in Santa Claus. He's going to bring you everything you need." And they're just like, you are 15 years old. Oh, it was season two. I guess it was season two. Season two, episode like 15. But yeah, Santa Claus ends up being real. Like he fixes the ornament. He brings them all the things that they've asked for. Santa Claus is real. That's what we learned from that episode. But it was also less about the gift giving and more of them being like, "You know what? I know Steve keeps messing shit up and he gets on my damn nerves and he makes everybody uncomfortable and he is constantly sexually harassing me, but let's invite him over for Christmas." And then they invite him over for Christmas and he was happy, and they were all happy. So that was good, I guess. But it was enjoyable to watch. It was very fun. in the second episode of
Let me cut it a little bit. Let me get some talking.
I was about to go through all five like this, like, all right, this is number one. This is number one.
I was just laughing because, you know, you said it was season one, and like, that's also like, even from this thing about the toxicity of the show, right? Like, even from season one, Steven breaking shit, coming to your house, I ain't fucking with you no more. And it's just the same episode every single time. And like, I was thinking about The Simpsons. One of the reasons I stopped watching The Simpsons, I was watching an episode and there was, you know, Homer does something stupid, Marge gets mad at him, then she forgives him. And I'm like, yo, this, like, she ain't never gonna leave. Like, she just gonna accept this for the rest of her life. Like, that's just what TV is, man. TV is just the American way. Bullshit. Right.
The American way. But then, like, you could be, that's just how, like, that's a lot of people, though. You'd be like, women married for 40 years, like, yeah, I know he's an idiot, but I love him. And it's just like, yeah, that's just how life is. Because you think about it, is TV reflecting real life or is it the other way around? And I feel like it's more like real life is reflecting what we see on TV. Because we all know, like, well, maybe we all don't, but we all know someone that's just like, how did you do this for 30 years with this guy? He is.
How do you do this for like 2 days?
15 minutes.
Like, I'm out. I'm on a minimalist journey. Like, all right, this is too much. I'm out. I'm
you're like, I got a blast.
Shit quick. Yeah.
Steve Urkel's he's the worst. He's the worst. But you feel sorry for him because his family does not love him. That is the theme for Steve's family.
They're the only ones who are consistent. Like,
they're consistently done. We get it. You're smart, but we do not like you. And they don't like him. They're never around for the holidays. We never meet his parents. They just do not like him. He's essentially an orphan living alone.
Oh, right? Man. Yeah.
But the second episode I watched was season three. I think it was episode 14, 15, because it's usually around the same is when, again, holidays, Steve breaks. Yeah. Steve breaks something. Yeah, no boundaries were respected in 90s TV. Not at all. Not at all. I think Steve breaks a vase that Laura was going to give to her mom for Christmas. And she's just like, you know what, Steve? For like the 400th time, I'm so tired of your shit. And you know, stay away from me. Stay out of my life. Stay away from my family. You're garbage. You're trash. And then she goes something like, I wish you could understand what it's like to be me, right? And then they like switch places. A guardian angel comes down and goes, I'm going to switch places. And then you see Laura on the other, like the receiving end, being a super annoying, super obnoxious, sexually harassing Steve, destroying shit. And did I do that? And all that shit. And you're just like, am I supposed to feel sorry for Laura in this scenario? You're still annoying. And I understand why they said what they said. She's like, you know, I was really in love with Steve in that like hypothetical situation and he didn't love me back and that hurt. Yeah, move on. That's what you should have learned. But she did it. Anyway, she changes back and then she goes, Steve, as long as you're okay, it's fine that you broke my mother's vase. Can you please take me home? And he's like surprised. He's like, oh my God, I've been crossing these boundaries with her and she's fine with it. Wow, thank you, Laura. And then that's the end of the episode. It's just nonsense, but it's enjoyable nonsense because it's that Christmas spirit of forgiveness, you know?
You know, it feels like TV just parallels life, right? You know?
It does. It does.
Right. And I'm thinking about like bigger picture, right? Like Christmas represents Jesus's birth and like God's gift to the world. And like no matter what good someone offers, right? It's like it's never enough. We don't care. Thanks for dying for our sins, but I'm still gonna do what the fuck I want to do. Like it's just no, like it's just the acceptance, right? It really is.
Yeah. Just the it's like it. That's life,
you're
baby.
You're bumming out my holidays. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, Chico Fonte said boundaries didn't exist in the 90s, Erica. They did not. You could pretty much just do whatever you want. Right. Do whatever you want.
What are the other episodes?
So then we have Living Kringle, which is from Living Single. This is definitely season one, episode 15. I know that for sure. And no one's into the Christmas spirit except Sinclair, because I think this is Sinclair's pretty much first Christmas away from her family, but she wants to spend it with her friends, and she's trying to get everybody to come over to the house so they can celebrate. They all got other ideas of what they want to do. She eventually gets them together into this one room to celebrate. They start singing, they're having a good time, and then they all just kind of like trail off because they have other stuff to do. Overton's got to go fix someone's sink. Maxine has a date. She's got a hot date she wants to go to. Khadija wants to go back to the office and work. Regine's got something she needs to do at the boutique because she's going to get 15% commission. She's like, I'm going to go make some money. And it just upsets Sinclair because to her, Christmas is about spending time with family. And then essentially you see that she has gotten everyone these like very custom presents. And they're all kind of feel bad after seeing the presents. Like, damn, like Sinclair really put a lot of thought into this. I feel really bad. So they all go back to the house to see if she's there, and she's gone. She's not. She didn't wait for them. She went out to go find her own fun. And they find her in a bar leading a group of people, like a choir. And, you know, they apologize to her and they realize how important it is. And then they make the effort. And I think that's what Christmas is supposed to be about, to me anyway. Well, the holidays are supposed to be about like togetherness, being around people that make you happy, being around, you know, she's like, I'm going to be around my favorite cousin and my best friends. And that's what it was about for her. It wasn't about hooking up or just all these like little tedious, tiny, like dumb things that they want to go do. Kyle wants to go trade stocks and 15% commission for Regine. And it's just like, who cares about that stuff if you don't have like people to enjoy it with? So they eventually, you know, apologize and they realize her point and they have a good holiday. But yeah, I think, I don't know. That's why probably Sinclair is like one of the best characters on that show, because they don't give her enough credit because she's like such a silly person and she's such a goofy lady, but she's always had like their best interests at heart. And I think she really showed them in that episode, like why Christmas is important and why family is important.
I don't have anything to add on.
Oh, okay. What are your thoughts on that episode?
I wrote a note to connect to a later segment.
You what? You what?
I said I just wrote a note to like connect to a later segment. You're good. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry, hold on 1 second. And then the last episode I put, which is a Kwanzaa episode of the Rugrats.
Oh yeah, yeah. We talked about that last week.
I don't know the season. I just know it's the 143rd episode. And all the kids learn from Susie's grandma about Kwanzaa. And she explains to them like the principles and what Kwanzaa is about. And then Susie kind of gets bummed out because she feels like she hasn't accomplished anything yet in her life. And she's like, I want to be great like my ancestors and like, you know, the people that came before me. And it's like, Susie, baby, you're only 3 years old. You have plenty of time to give. And then that's pretty much the end of the episode. But it is nice to see like episodes of Rugrats, the Proud Family, where they do episodes about Kwanzaa, because I feel like Kwanzaa is never really talked about when it comes to holiday specials. And you just in general, you hear everyone say like, oh, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, but you never hear anyone really say Happy Kwanzaa. And I think that's because a lot of people aren't so public about celebrating Kwanzaa. Like besides you, my cousins celebrate Kwanzaa, the twins, Shonda and Shalisha. Yeah. They celebrate Kwanzaa, they have their Kinara, and they go through the principles and everything. And they're just like, they love Kwanzaa. And that's what they celebrate instead of Christmas, because I think they celebrate Christmas too, because most of their family does. Bless you if you sneezed. But yeah, they definitely celebrate Kwanzaa. And I think that's great, because like I told you before, I celebrated Kwanzaa as a kid, but not because of my parents, but because when I went to school, we had teachers that were like, have you guys ever heard of Kwanzaa? And they taught us about Kwanzaa. They taught us about Hanukkah. They taught us about Christmas. They were like, yeah, there's so many different kinds of celebrations happening around this time of year. So let's like learn about Kwanzaa. And so we learned about Kwanzaa. We learned about the seven principles. We learned that it went to like to the first day, like to New Year's, like, well, yeah, New Year's Day. And And it was really interesting, but like, I think after graduating from elementary school, wasn't really heard about again, really, which is shocking because I went to like an all black middle school and high school, and it was very much about like, you know, black excellence and success and all that. But we definitely didn't really delve into Kwanzaa like we could have.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Rugrats episode was just like a special. I tried looking for it last year, couldn't find anything. I found places where it says it was like season 5, episode 13. You go there and something else. But it was dope just knowing that something like that existed, especially in a show like Rugrats, which is predominantly, you know, like white kids or white babies. And, you know, tying into, again, as always, right, kind of finding this podcast, trying to find those gems that have always existed that we just never knew about because we were just stuck in the matrix of, you know, the Channel 7 ABC holiday special.
The mainstream stuff, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would have been nice to see more specials about it, especially when, you know, I think people feel like they have to pick what they celebrate. And I don't necessarily think that's true. I feel like if you want to celebrate Christmas and you want to celebrate Kwanzaa, you can do both. If you want to celebrate Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, you can do both. If you want to celebrate, I mean, Christmas and Hanukkah, go ahead. Like, there's not really anything stopping you from, you know, enjoying those holidays, especially when it's, you know, the main focus of it before, which is just be thankful, grateful, and be around family.
Right.
But yeah, Kwanzaa needs more cred for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, being on TikTok, there are a lot of people doing, like, not doing, but I think embracing Kwanzaa a lot. Like last year, it was my first time doing it. I posted it and I connected with a lot of people who were celebrating, a lot of Kwanzaa podcasts. It's there. I think it just needs to be consistent. And it needs to kind of exist outside of December also. Right. Mm-hmm. If you only think about it once a year, it's gonna die out. And you know, that's our joint responsibility when we talk about culture and holidays. So yeah,
right. Even did you even know that The Sims is more inclusive about the holidays too? Like, if you play The Sims, you can get a Kinara for your house during their holiday because they now have that as like a thing in The Sims. Because it's it's a lot different than it was. So you get like a calendar and it's like, oh, it's the holiday time. And they don't necessarily call it Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. They're just like, oh, holiday time. And then you could put like a Kinara in your house or menorah in your house or Christmas tree. And I was like, wow, we got a Kinara in here.
I just pulled up the picture. Yeah, that looks dope.
isn't that cool?
I don't know how to share screen if I would, but yeah, that looks dope.
Fun.
So what did you gift yourself this holiday season? So I bought a drawing pad for myself. Like I wanted to start drawing more this year. So I bought pen and pad and I was doing it. And I'm like my handwriting sucks. So I want to be able to like improve my handwriting first with just, you know, basic letters and then kind of transition into pen and pad and then the digital pad so I can start drawing. And that's like, I buy myself future gifts. Like I buy it today knowing that like I'm really going to use it next year, but I just want to have it today, get it out the way, and then like take that responsibility to use it. What about you?
I decided this year not to really focus on buying myself something like physical, but to kind of put my self-care and my mental health and everything first. So I've made a lot of goals to look into therapy and look into nutrition and just get my proverbial shit together, you know? It's less about, you know, like me gifting myself something, like I said, physical, but just giving myself time because I don't think I give myself enough time to take care of myself. So I definitely want to focus on that. That's been like my gift to myself is just focusing on me and my shit.
And how do you transition that out of the holiday and like make it regular life?
Just staying focused, just making lists, just journaling and keeping a planner, staying organized. I just really need to, like you said, I feel you said you're like, you seem kind of melancholy, and I like feel like sometimes I'm in a funk and I don't want to be in a funk, you know, all the time. Right. So I want to be funkless. So I'm going to make the conscious effort to like stick to my goals of taking care of myself better so that, you know, I can just have a long and happy life.
I feel like maybe the journaling will transition into the, was it short story writing we talked about earlier mm-hmm. this season?
Yeah, definitely. Short story writing and essay writing too. I feel like sometimes I have a bunch I want to say, and like sometimes I want to share it instead of just, you know, blabbing it specifically at the person closest to me.
I get it. Curate the chaos and the content.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have a blog, anything, or have you considered blogging?
I used to have a blog. I used to be a big Tumblr user, but then I stopped. But
we all
I think
for the same reason.
Yeah, everyone stopped. Yeah. But I definitely want to focus on journalism and journaling and then sharing my thoughts after that in a more constructive way, even if it's just for myself, you know, just to be able to clear my head and get into new things like new hobbies or longer walks or more self-reflection, you know.
Nothing Moves Without Us, a Black culture podcast, is brought to you by the Black Excellence Shop. Shop our Black Excellence calendar and journal bundle, 366 days of Black history, self-love, and personal growth. Receive 10% off your order with coupon code CULTURE at shopblack366.com.
Just organizing my brain.
That's where you got to start, right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite non-gift-giving tradition?
My favorite non-gift-giving tradition it is. You saw me walk. I was working through it real slow. I was like, what did he just say that I have to repeat? I didn't do it this year, but I think my favorite tradition was definitely when I was a kid and my mom would put up the Christmas tree, me and my sister helping her decorate it. That's always been like my favorite thing. It's just because we had a I think 1 year especially, we got like a real tree and we were so pumped about it. We were like, we got a real tree, we're rich. We weren't rich. And then we decorated it. We're balling. With my mom decorate, like she was like, come on, let's decorate the tree. And we get the lights and the ornaments, and she would always theme it like these beautiful like golden whites, and she put that up, and then she would always put this beautiful wreath on the door that was made out of like gold ornaments on our front door, and like this long like weird shrub across our like TV set with little bows and stuff on it, and it was just so beautiful. And then I always was in charge of wrapping the gifts on top of that, and she was like, you do it because you do it so neat, and we like would work together to do this, and it just like, oh, so nice. It made it feel like such a group effort, and it was fun, and I was like, this is my favorite thing to do. That and drinking eggnog, which I feel like Chico Fontaine would agree, he's a big eggnog fan. You know, especially with a little bit of probably like some Hennessy or something in it, maybe. I never actually tried that, but maybe I'll start this year. But not the dark stuff, the white stuff, you know,
or the white Henny.
The white Henny you can only buy in airports.
Right. I remember the first time I saw white Henny, man. Just drooling, salivating, like take. I'm relapsing into the old days.
I have a picture when we went to Mexico earlier this year. I have a picture because we brought back two bottles of white Hennessy, and I was holding them like this, and I was like, I got white Hennessy for sale. Like, I got white Hennessy for sale, but I didn't really, because I was like, nah, I'm not gonna sell these, I'm gonna just keep them for myself. What's your favorite tradition, non-gift giving activity?
Gonna add this real quick. Erica's is, mine is Christmas Eve, fave dinner, and just watching Christmas movies, drinking, and spending time at home with my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think for I think I like the traditions Erica and I have kind of started. Like on Christmas Day, we get like shrimp. We make like shrimp cocktail, drink champagne. Then we drink mimosas, have like a charcuterie board and just like snack and eat like very lightly and just open gifts. And I'll do FaceTime video with family. Yeah,
that's nice. I like that. That's really cool.
Chico,
I want a charcuterie board.
Is watching A Christmas Story. You know they made A Christmas Story too?
Sure did. With the original kid.
Man,
well, there's actually terrible. There's three of them. Because it was A Christmas Story sequel that wasn't very popular. And it had a Culkin brother in it. And then the new one has the kid from the original one, who was also an elf. But I also like to watch A Christmas Story, that and A March of the Wooden Soldiers, which is a very, I don't know. Have you ever seen A March of the Wooden Soldiers?
Nah.
It used to come on the WB every year around the same time as A Christmas Story. And it's essentially, they're in Toyland and Little Bo Peep is there. And there's a ghoul that's trying to kidnap her because she's one of the, she's a child of the woman that lives in the shoe, who has like so many kids. It's a really silly story. It's from like the 1930s or the 1940s. And it would scare the shit out of me when I was a kid. And when I got older, I was like, all right, this is not really that scary. But I still watch it every year because it's like nostalgia from when I was a kid. Remember watching it.
Right.
It's a weird movie, but it's a fun movie. And there's literally wooden soldiers in it trying to fight these like demon monsters. And they're like walking around like this. They're like walking around like this. And
look like you're running laps.
It's how I run laps.
I'm blue da doo dee da. Yeah. Okay. All right. What are some favorite and least favorite holiday traditions and movies and TV? I'm automatically thinking about the car breaking down on the side of the road, the kissing outside for the first time and it snows at us at the perfect time. I mean, I feel like watching it, maybe it's part of the like removal from like the innocent romance of like childhood. Like as a kid, it feels magical. Little Christmas snow. And I remember the first time I experienced snow on Christmas Day. And I was like, it doesn't feel that magical. This shit is whack. They lied. This shit is whack, son.
Oh my God.
That's removing yourself from the lore of what television kind of stuff.
Oh man. I like the snow on Christmas. It's like, it's just like you said, it's just like TV. And then you go out and play in the snow for like a couple hours and then it's just dirty slush.
I like it in cartoons. I'm thinking about, there's this Arthur episode where I think it's like a Christmas episode and everyone just ends up being at his house. I think I like it in cartoons, but Arthur's just a dope show overall too.
Yeah, the brain. Yeah. He used to celebrate Kwanzaa.
Right.
Because he was black.
Right.
Black icon. Chico Fontaine said that's Barbara and my mom's favorite. That's his Aunt Barbara. And his mom's favorite movie was March of the Wooden Soldiers. So at least I know I'm not the only person that was watching it. It was also my mom too, because my mom was watching it. I don't know. I don't know if I have like a non-favorite Christmas like tradition, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not.
I don't think I have a non-favorite one. I don't really think about it.
Maybe not even favorite, just like, I've seen this before. It's not that. It's all right. Like, it's something you just hate on. Like, this shit is, being a holiday hater. Hater.
Let me
holiday hate on. There we go. Now it's connecting.
Yeah, it's connecting a little bit. I think. I don't know. Probably. I don't have anything. I can't think of anything, Clifford. I'm trying to think, and I'm like, there's nothing I can hate on about Christmas. Probably like how commercialized it is, just in general, how hard people go about
I like that.
Gifts! And like thinking they have to be like expensive or like crazy. Sometimes you could just buy somebody something because it's like, oh, this made me think of you. Well, oh, this is something I think you would be interested in, instead of, you know, I love whatever gift I get, you know, but I feel like a lot of people sometimes are just like, I don't want that. And I don't like that. I don't like sometimes if it's like ungrateful, but that's really it.
They want their stocks, like you said, Kyle, and 15% commission, like Regine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you brought that up, I was thinking about, you know, like Sinclair and the gifts you said, you know, the gifts she gave were personal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, connecting it to the idea of this culture, right? Like cultural gifts are more personal. And what everyone else is doing is just part of the, you know, the regular consumerism and all that stuff that people dislike about the holidays. So to wrap up with our Christmas discussion. Ooh. What was your favorite gift from last year and your favorite gift from childhood?
Sorry, I'm like pointing over like, oh, did you see? Erica said people normalizing dealing with toxic family just because it's a holiday. I would have to agree with that one, because sometimes people want you to put your differences aside for the sake of the holiday, even if you, let's say you don't talk to the person all year round because they're not good for you. It's like, let's put it all aside for Christmas. And it's like, that's crazy. Sometimes you just got to keep that boundary because, you know, like, why give you a reprieve for the holidays? I agree with that. And then I think Chico Fontaine said the Rockefeller tree. I get that. That is, it's crazy over there. That is insane.
All right. So I guess Erica is saying that her least favorite thing is people normalizing dealing with toxic family. You know, so I see that a lot on TikTok. And for me, it feels like this new cultural shift where people are just very, kind of adds on to like the zero tolerance aspect, where people are just like, hey, you know, this stuff happened in the past. I'm just like done, which I get. But I feel like a lot of it deviates into just like not trying or not even showing up. I don't know. I like the idea of letting go our differences of just for a day, right? Because it shows you that there's still some humanity in the person. Like, they're not as bad as you think they are. Or maybe they're bad majority of the time. But like, if, you know, one day you can come together with your enemy and just enjoy a moment, right? Like, I feel like that keeps peace. So I like the idea of the hope, right? Because Christmas is about hope. So I feel like you get with family, you get with people you don't really vibe with, and you hope it gets better, and it doesn't, and the next year you hope it gets better, and then like you just accept it, right? And you're there, I'm there, and like that's it. I don't know. Yeah,
I feel like with situations like that, if you've given it like a solid chance or a solid try to, you know, like, you know, whatever, try and come overcome your differences, and it works, then that's cool. But like, also on top of the hope is like being let down every year when you do decide. I think sometimes you see, especially when people share them going home for the holidays, it's like, oh, got to deal with that racist uncle, or oh, got to deal with the aunt that's always got something to say about like my job or whatever the case is. And it's like, oh, do you just put up with that because it's the holidays, or do you just kind of go, why am I going to keep inserting myself in the situation where I walk away feeling not good about myself, or feel like you have to kind of argue your humanity or whatever the case is. So I definitely understand the trying to stay away from the toxic family, right, or just toxic people in general, because it can't be good for you to keep putting yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, it's just the holidays, let's just get through it, because you can have peace at home. So
okay. Yeah, I don't know how Alex said, I think I'm okay with a disappointment, right? Like if I go somewhere with hope and I get let down, like I say, okay, they haven't changed, and like I just shift into the next thing. But I get it.
Yeah.
Now we can put our differences aside at someone's graduation. Not my happy workplace Christmas. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your favorite gift from last year and your favorite gift from childhood?
My favorite gift has
something to add to. No, not me. If I don't like you, I'm not going to be around you. I can't hide my feelings.
She's not lying. My favorite gift from last year was I did this bad thing. I think I told you this before. I kept saying like, oh man, I really need this thing and I really need that thing. Right, I want to buy this for myself. And Robert was like, please stop doing that. And I was like, why? And then I realized it was because he was buying me the things that I wanted, but I was also buying them for myself. But the idea that he was paying such close attention, there's this perfume I really like by Chloe, this like this rose perfume that I've been wanting for years and years and years, but I always like will put it in the back of my head or forget what it looked like. And he bought it for me, and I mean I also bought it for myself, but now I have so much of it, and now when I wear it, I'm like, oh, this is the gift that Robert gave me. So that was definitely one of my favorite gifts from last year. My favorite gift from childhood. What was my favorite gift from childhood? One year we got a dog. We got a Rottweiler named Roxy. That was my favorite gift. I miss her. But, you know, that was my favorite gift. I was like, wow, we got a... And it was a big dog, too. But it might not have been Christmas. Let me take that back. My favorite gift
was... What happened to Roxy?
She was getting too big. And she was getting too big. And you can't have a Rottweiler.
She's getting too big.
You know what? Probably my favorite... My favorite Christmas gift. You know, I'm gonna be mushy. I'm gonna say it was my sister. My sister was born 12 days before Christmas. And that's she's my best friend, so like that was a great gift. Thanks, Mom. That was a great gift.
I like that.
So yeah, so like now every year, you know, I got my sister, and now like I have a nephew and stuff, so that's really cool. So I'll say my sister's my favorite Christmas gift.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas gift you got last year?
Telescope. Erica got me a telescope. I feel like I've been talking about it. For like maybe two. I talk about things a lot, mm-hmm. like because I have to like mull the idea over, and I'm like, do I have space for this? Do I really need it right now? And I think I was gonna buy one, but I just said, I'm okay right now, and she got it. I when I saw the box, I thought it was a PS5, and I she got the PS5. Okay, I said, oh shit, she got the hookup, huh? She got the hookup. But yeah, so the telescope, and I was even happy about that.
That's cool.
Yeah. I haven't really used it.
You looking at planets and stuff? Yeah, I was going to say, you looking at planets and stuff?
I brought it out on the balcony once. I don't know. I want perfectionist. I want like the free space of having, mm-hmm. you know, being able to look instead of being confined. I'll get over it at some point.
You ever think about taking it out when you go on like hikes and stuff, and maybe doing like a late hike and
it's a big telescope and I don't want to, not like huge, but I don't want to carry it. Like it has some weight to it. It's like a big stand. I don't want to carry it.
Okay. All right. I understand that.
Favorite childhood gift. My initial answer was like either like Sega Genesis or PlayStation, but that feels like very mm-hmm. cliche. So I used to pick my gifts out. We go to the pharmacy and I'll be like, I want this. My mom would buy it for me. I would wrap my gifts up, and then on Christmas Day, I'd open it like, hey, surprise.
Oh my gosh. You're like, my gosh, who got me this? I love it. And it was like, you picked it. You better
Yeah, I had imagination. That's why I can always be alone, because I just have my own fun imagination, you know.
Yeah.
It was like this travel Monopoly game, mm-hmm. and I think you just had to you screwed it up and like you twisted it and stuff like that. And I just remember I remember her buying it. I gift wrapped it, and I'm like who the fuck? And this is like 2 years later. Like, who am I kidding? Like, I know what it is. So I just opened it and started playing with it then and there.
That's funny. Oh, you know what? One year I got an amazing Amy doll. Do you know what an amazing Amy doll is?
I've heard about it. I'll look it up.
It was like, amazing, Amy. How does she know? I just know. And it was like sort of interactive. So you could feed it and she would know what you were feeding it. You lay it down, she knows it was time for sleep. You had to like take care of her. I got one of those. That was crazy. I love that thing. I had a lot of gifts that I love, actually, now that I think about it as a kid, besides my sister. So it was my sister, then the amazing Amy doll.
You couldn't have stopped there.
And a Furby. I got a Furby, and it was a Furby when it was like hard to get Furbies. And I remember I got a Furby, and I was like, this is crazy. And I would talk to it, and you know, you teach it English and shit, because it used to speak a lot of Furbish. But right, that was a cool ass present too. So definitely things I had to take care of was like my favorite kind of gift.
I'm thinking the about gift how of
motherhood.
Think about how Furbies became Baby Yoda for this generation, right? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Funny. So let's wrap up with Kwanzaa. You want to lead with the rap to intro us with whatever you remember?
Yeah, I wrote it down. Now
bars.
Remember, I don't have bars. I was about to say I don't have any flow either. All right, where
it says bars underneath. I'm saying, you know,
bars. Oh gosh, it says Tati's Kwanzaa rap. First of all, I did not write this. This was Miss Parks.
Copyright.
Yeah, Tappan Elementary School PS46. Miss Parks, thank you for writing this song. I still remember it, obviously, but here goes. Jesus Christ. Kwanzaa is a time to celebrate the seven laws in seven different ways. Now, the language is Swahili, and it's plain to see this is an African connection to bring unity. Kwanzaa means first fruit of the harvest time. Now, we may not have a garden, but we've got our minds. Plant the seeds in our heads so we can grow at will. Cultivate and educate until it's time to chill. And then this is the next part, and this is all I remember. Naguza Saba means the seven laws, and each one is on a mission for a righteous cause. And then you just repeat that three times until you fade out and you go, for a righteous cause, for a righteous cause. And that's it.
That was dope. I feel like you played it off like you didn't have anything, but that was everything, right?
That's, I think so. I'm not sure.
You got
sure.
a good memory. You got a
I try. And you would think I'm surprised that I remember anything past yesterday, but I remember that rap. Probably because I performed a lot.
I actually remember a Kwanzaa song too. It's Kwanzaa, an African-American celebration, a party across the nation. And that's what I remember.
Where did you hear
elementary
that?
School. Elementary school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But my, like, Francine is, I don't know if it's obvious, that is my mother. But she heard me perform this song probably maybe two or three times because I was, like, very active in elementary school. Like any activity that they said I could do, I was like, I'm gonna do that shit. So I would do the holiday shows. I was singing the choir. I was on the chess team. I was like, I'll do all this shit. I love it. But yeah, the Christmas ones were always the best because we did like the Kwanzaa song, we did the dreidel song, we did Christmas songs in English and in Spanish. So it was cool. It was very cool. But yeah, the Kwanzaa, I can't believe I remember that at I can send it to you if you want. I don't know if you want to do anything with it.
They copyrighted, so I'm, you know, there's nothing.
I don't know if it's copyrighted. That's the thing. I don't know. But Miss Parks, wherever you are, thank you so much. She probably won't see this, but thank you so much. Also, Miss Rose, shout out to you. Thank you so much.
So Kwanzaa, do you know a bit about the history? And if not, it's cool because I'm looking it up also.
Yeah, I know the history of Kwanzaa because I learned it in elementary school, but it was created in the 80s by a gentleman. I can't remember his name right now. And it has
Molana Karenga.
Yes. And it's got seven principles. It's all about, you know, Blackness and cooperation. Yeah, that's I think that's the gist of it. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, you know,
it's cool. Invented. It's a cool holiday.
Learning about it and like finding significance, right? Like, you know, earlier we talked about when you watch a movie or you listen to something, you're looking for the like culture behind it. Mm-hmm. And everything has that. It just gets washed away at some point. But Right. You know, being new and celebrating Kwanzaa for the first time and learning about what each candle represents, learning about the principles, and just being like, yeah, like I believe in all of this, right? Yeah, like we should be doing all that.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is cool. Yeah, let's do it.
So, you know, we talked about hoping that more people just find awareness in it and find kind of more ways to kind of incorporate it into their lifestyle. You get fire emojis for your rep.
Ever.
So I'm reading this from the official Kwanzaa website.org. This is the founder's welcome, Dr. Maulana Karenga. As African-American and Pan-African holiday celebrated by millions throughout the world, African community, Kwanzaa brings a cultural message which speaks to the best of what it means to be African and human in the fullest sense. Given the profound significance Kwanzaa has for African-Americans and indeed the world African community, it is imperative that an authoritative source and site be made available to give an accurate and expansive account of its origins, concept, value, symbols, and practice. And I used the site last year to like reference everything I was doing when I did I did videos for TikTok each day. And it's just knowing that like it's there, right? You know, like I guess, you know, as a creator and like as an artist on his end, it's knowing like this needs a site and it's there, right? Like I never knew the site existed until last year, but it's like we say, it's there. And the goal is just kind of finding more ways to bring people to it to find and find ways to incorporate their everyday lives into it.
Definitely.
The seven principles each represent like a individual, communal, and social value that, you know, we should be incorporating into our lives. Do you have some of them in front of you? Maybe we could go back and forth.
Yeah. There are seven principles, as you said. Do you want me to read off the first three and you do the last four?
All right, sounds good.
Oh, well, I mean, I'll just read them off and then you do the ones I didn't do. Because we're probably looking at two different sources. They are Umoja, which is unity. Kujichagulia, which is self-determination. That's my one of my favorites. Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility.
There is Ujamaa, shared work, wealth, and good in the world, cooperative economics. The next one is Nia, which is purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. So one thing that I like about the website is it gives you the phrase, it tells you the English definition, and like the founder has his like additional philosophy behind it. So you kind of incorporate it a bit more into your life. Kumba, creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And creativity is kind of one of my favorites because it aligns with where I am mentally and like, you know, creating, you know, like the Black Excellence calendar. I just launched the app. So like finding new ways to, you know, use my natural inspiration just to connect the Black experience and further the Black experience. And the last one is Imani, faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. And it's like what 1 Corinthians 13 is, you know, like 1 Corinthians 13 defines what love is. And I feel like the seven principles of Kwanzaa define what our individual and social purposes should be.
Yeah, definitely. I also like, you know, sometimes we think about how a lot of people don't celebrate Kwanzaa, but you do hear, but it's like it immerses itself a little bit into just Black culture in general when you think about how common of a name Imani is.
Right.
And Nia too. Nia but Long. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. But yeah, exactly. Because you think about, you know, you think, oh, we got to spread this word about Kwanzaa. People should really look into Kwanzaa. And then you see things like Imani. The name is so common now. It's like someone was sort of paying attention to it. And it's like, this is where your name comes from. Your name comes from Kwanzaa. It's a principle of Kwanzaa.
Do you have anything to kind of wrap up with before we close out on this last episode and this episode. Sorry, this last season. Not this last mm-hmm. season. I'm out of it. This last episode of the season. There we go. I'm all over.
I want to say happy holidays to everyone and thank you for tuning in. This has been an amazing learning experience. And I just hope that everyone has a good holiday and just get out of doing Grinchless behavior and just try and enjoy it until we get to the new year.
I like that.
Oh, I also want to say special thank you to Clifford and Erica for sending me and Robert some very delicious treats. That was lovely. I'm going to eat some of those tonight. So thank you so much.
No problem. She did all the hard work in baking. I was the taste tester. I had an important job, but she had the job. She had the main job.
Yeah. She took our allergies into consideration. It was wonderful.
Yeah. on my end, I'm glad we got to do this. You know, it's been a really fun experience working with you. I've been saying that I wanted a non-masculine male presence to kind of balance out, and you really bring a lot of that out of me. So I'm happy to keep doing this with you, and thank you everyone who has been listening, watching, everyone who supports when we do the YouTube live. We'll see you next season. Have a happy holiday, happy new year, and all the best. Peace.
God bless.
Thank you, chat.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on YouTube for bi-weekly club discussions and occasional recaps at Nothing Moves Without Us. Please follow our TikTok and Instagram at A Black Culture Podcast, and you can watch podcast episodes on YouTube at Nothing Moves Without Us, A Black Culture Podcast.